Australia, 1973, by Leyland, P76 and Other Means of Travel. I was actually a child in Vanuatu, not a child in Australia, in 1976. And for those who were in Australia at that time, you will remember that the Leyland P76 was a lemon. There are evidently some people who still have this, you know, P76 yes, club, yes, yes. And I'm sure those cars are worth a fortune now. It was very, very unpopular. Why the P76? Well, this is actually a circa 1976 map. It might have come up, map book. It may have come up the year before, maybe. And there was an advertisement for the P76. Wow. I thought, I've just got to go with this. Part of my art...
Can I just interrupt? How yes. many people know the P76?
Yes.
We're all oh, on. Yeah, look at that.
We're all on site.
Brilliant.
We understand.
Good folks. part of my art practice is expressing my frustration at how books are being used or not used, more to the point, especially in public libraries and university libraries. And yeah, digital is great. I'm not a total Luddite, but I really do regret the fact that people are turning away from books so much. And I see all these amazing books, you know, in the library sales, you know, 50 cents, 20 cents, etc. Or in this case, this is from a charity shop, and they just sit there for months and years and whatever. So this is part of my art expression, is saying, look, paper is just so amazing. It's been around for how many millions of years? And it's a wonderful thing to do artworks with, wonderful thing to see. Let's repurpose the books. If no one wants to read them, let's repurpose them. Behind this particular artwork is the fact that whatever era we were born in, whatever country we come from, we are explorers, physically or internally, and I really like this idea of our own individual journeys through life by P76 or other modes of transport.
And this being a street directory, of course.
Exactly.
Whatever.
That's
and
right.
Whoa, it's kind of pretty chaotic.
It's pretty chaotic, yes, exactly.
Sometimes GPSs get a bit like this. So in terms of the, I mean, it's a complex image, and it's kind of pretty crazy.
Yes.
Where did the original idea come from, though? Did it come from your brain or your hands in the studio, or a combination of both?
Very good question. I have to say a combination of both. When I work with books in this way, it's very much determined, what I do with it is very much determined on the actual paper itself. And I don't know that until I start working with it. And then it's very much a matter of switching the brain off and going with a sense of artistic expression and sheer physical manipulation. So I really can't pre-plan much at all in terms of, you know, how much is the brain involved, because I don't yet know what the paper is going to do. So if it's a very thick, glossy paper, it's going to be very different to a very flimsy paperback, for argument's sake. So.
So how long have you been working with this medium, recycling books?
Only since the beginning of this year, I think literally January this year, and I actually sat down, I was supposed to be babysitting a very spoilt dog. He was at one end of the sofa. I was at the
she
other
said dog.
Dog, you yes, dog. American Staffy, for a friend. And I just thought, I want to do something while I'm babysitting this dog. And I've been thinking about working with books and hadn't yet started. So I'm babysitting him at one end and I'm sort of playing on my lap with. I thought, oh, this is wonderful. So it sort of has gone from there.
I just wonder if you had a copy of Darwin's Origins of the Species. Sorry, that's a bad example, because you wouldn't be destroying that.
I would be really scared to do that.
Obviously, from a street directory to a novel to, you know, a book on botanical science or whatever.
Yes.
They're kind of different, aren't they?
Yes,
I know
yes,
you were saying,
are.
Yeah, but the paper's different. But what about the content of what it's representing? Would that likely influence?
It does, actually. The hardest one I have been working on so far is the one that I've kind of started, but I'm too scared to get into. It's actually a beautiful booklet for another council, published in, I think it was 1990, it was actually Blacktown. Blacktown Town Planning produces an amazing booklet, beautiful paper, 12 pages, thick, glossy paper, wonderful photos. I mean, councils just don't do that these days, I don't think, to attract people into their region. And I'm terrified. I'm absolutely terrified with, because it's such a beautiful piece of work in and of itself. So yes, it does. And I mean, no one wants it to me, quite frankly. It was discarded.
Yes,
so if we're talking about a pamphlet from a council, anything, you know, Darwin, et cetera, or anything in between, yes,
How do you respond to that? Yes, that's a very interesting question. How many people have got libraries that they're trying to downsize? Or, there's a couple, or how many people, perhaps like April, when they see books being kind of thrown out and maybe going to landfill, think, this is not possible, I've got to buy it or whatever. Can I just tell you a UNSW story? One of the biggest kind of second-hand book sale venues over the last 30 years, I think, was the University of New South Wales book sale. People in New South Wales would probably remember it. It hasn't happened for the last 3 or 4 years because the U Committee's in demise. One of the reasons was, it wasn't so much that the sales, although the sales were tapering off, you know, people coming and wanting to buy second-hand books. So it's kind of a bit of the iceberg. Sorry, the other part of the iceberg, under the water, of your problem.
Yes.
So what was happening was, more and more books were being donated, in a sense, better books, but equally less people were coming to buy them.
Yes.
And I reckon the psychological trauma of the wonderful U Committee, these women who organised it and on previous occasions made many, many thousands of dollars for the university for scholarships and things, I just think the psychological trauma of getting more and more books in and then having to put more and more of those good books into skips to go to landfill in the end kind of killed them.
How do we adjust
so rapidly to these changing values and the kind of material nature of them? So it's a very, very interesting phenomenon that you're dealing with. Any questions of April in terms of her work? I have to ask the permanence question again. Is this going to last or silverfish?
Well, how long do books last? I suppose, well, these books without covers. And let's face it, I suppose that's why it's, you know, $500 rather than $5,000, because I can't guarantee it's going to, you know, last forever. There are people say, well, why don't you spray it with, you know, adhesives and whatnot? Yeah, I could. It just changes so much. So I guess it lasts for as long as it lasts. I don't know. I can't answer your question more nearly than that.
Yeah, but for a very tidy, sort of dust-conscious person, you could always put a perfect box there.
You could, seriously. Yes. I mean, yes, seriously, you could indeed.
Very
fragile
things like
you could.
This would be
for sure.
With a slightly bigger plinth and then a nice perfect.
And that adds rather a nice other level of meaning to it too, in terms of the permanence of books at various levels. So yes, I like that idea.
But also the mapping is interesting. You know, with GPS now, aren't GPS extraordinary wherever you are in the world? But, you know, to have gone back to this idea of the old street directory, which we would have all had in the glove boxes of our cars. So there's an intriguing.
Thank you for reminding me of that aspect. Yes, I forgot to mention that. Absolutely. Yes. Thank you.
Okay, well, thanks very much.
Thank you. Thank you.